Take your Bibles and turn tonight, and I only got an hour and 20 minutes. I can't. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 5. And of course, we're going to finish up. We've been on the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. And we have been studying that now for a number of weeks. We've been studying commandments for a good while. But in Matthew, go back again, Matthew chapter 5. And read a few verses, and we're looking at the different thing. Thou shalt not kill is a pretty strong statement. It's a command of God. But there are some errors in life that people don't look at that as being that just anything, any type of killing is a breaking of that commandment. There's people who literally believe if you kill animals, you're actually breaking that commandment. So we looked at God. We looked at killing and different types of killing, manslaughter, first degree, second degree. We looked at self-defense. We've covered a lot here, so I'm going to hit the tail end of this and finish so we can get into the next one. Every one of these commandments are very strong, and really, if you listen and follow them, you'll find they touch about all of us in some form or fashion. We're in a state of fallen condition as far as the old man is concerned. We've been redeemed. We have an insight. God has given us a new creation in us, but this old man's still there, and we have troubles with it. And for somebody who would say, well, not me, preacher, since I got saved, I ain't had a bit of trouble with the old flesh. Well, you just did a cardinal sin that God said he hated, and that's lying. God said he hates a liar. Because you find that you and I who are saved have a bigger battle than unsaved people have. So we looked at this. We looked at even God. Did God break his own commandment because he sent the flood? Did God break his own commandment because he ordered Joshua into the land of Canaan and kill everything in there? Did God break his own? No. God did not break his own commandment because there is a right. We said God knows things in completeness. Well, we never know that until we get the glorified body. And so last week we were looking at, we'd got off of the things that most people think about what murder is or what killing is. And we talked about some other regulations that was punishment. For instance, God Almighty declared that a child that was abusive or rebellious to the parent had to be stoned. That's a command of God. The Bible also told us that if a man built in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 8, if he built a building and put on top of a room, an open room to the sky like the homes in Jerusalem did, and didn't put a rail around so a person wouldn't fall off a flat roof. Now, a lot of times they build a room up there in the coolness of the night. They could go up and enjoy the stars, and it was a lot cooler than it would be in a house. And he said, if you build that and you don't put a rail around it and a person goes and falls off, you're guilty of that because you didn't fix a way to prevent that from happening. And then we talked about how hate and angry. We looked in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16 and 17, where God spelled this out in pretty strong language. Thou shalt not go and down as a talebearer, and thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of the neighbor. I am the Lord. He even said in verse 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. We looked in again in 1 John. I want you to look there with me just a moment again, and we'll read that verse. 1 John chapter 5. And down about verse 1 John 5:15, he said, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now, you can read that any way you want to read it. But God is setting forth hatred at a beginning state that leads to murder. And if a person doesn't check hatred and not let it be there, it's the same as murder. So how many people have not had some problems with people from time to time? It's hard to get over those problems. And that's where we were at last week as we were talking about this thing more than just murder. Hate and angry. These are things that causes murder. And I went through a series, and I'll just quick give that. And I got two things more to say, and then we'll be through for this particular commandment. We said that this, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, verse 20 says, for I say to you that except your righteous shall exceed the righteous of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, it's a known fact. We looked at that. The righteous of the scribes and Pharisees, you couldn't get any better than they as far as men thinking in that day. They had to close on to prove it. But God said, if your righteousness don't exceed that, you're not going to get into the kingdom of heaven. That's at the end. And you know what he's setting forth, ladies and gentlemen? That verse alone tells me there's nothing you and I do to get saved. That verse alone tells us we're going to heaven, going to that pearly street of gold place in New Jerusalem. You're not going to get there on your own energy, because it takes more than any righteous you and I can muster up. It takes more than that for us to enter into that kingdom. And when he said that, he said, you have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill. That's what we've been looking at in Exodus chapter 20. Sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. But notice, since he said that, I shall not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. That's understandable. We looked at the refuge cities and so forth that people went to when they committed a murder. No matter how it was, if they got to one of these cities, they could not do anything. Well, to do anything to them, they had a hearing. But he's talking about if there's a killing take place, there's got to be an arrangement somehow. In Ireland, we go to court, hopefully, to get judged good about something and present our case if somebody is killed. And hopefully it's not premeditated murder, because that's really the main thing God is talking about here. A man who kills in self-defense, and it's proven in self-defense, is not premeditated murder. He's just trying to take care of his family. A man who goes to war for a nation and fights and kills people is not premeditated murder. He's been obedient to the government that God has given to, and hopefully the government make the right decision under those circumstances. No one of these men who've been over in Iraq, or over, none of these men who've been in other places in war, can ever be declared by God and convicted that they actually murder, unless they premeditated and went beyond the call of duty that they were in and did something on their own energy rather than what was required in their in the fighting or the scrimmages they were in. So we said these things can't call murder. And we talked about an experience, first of all, anger. He said, in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother, and I call this the first level of murder before murder actually takes place. He said, they whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Eka shall be in danger of the council. Now, we said this is like an experience. You run into a scrimmage, you run into an experience, and suddenly there's an anger. Then this anger explodes into words, and you lose your temper. And then a person says from his lips, like this word, Reka. And what he's saying is, it simply means, you empty-headed idiot. You know what you get upset. And by the way, every one of you may not have said empty-headed idiot, but I'll tell you this. When you get upset, anger with someone, you'll say things you would not have said otherwise. None of us has arrived to conquer yet. It's better not to get angry and upset so you don't say those things, because if you get angry and upset, you'll say things you wish you hadn't said. Dear Lord, help this crowd tonight to understand. You see what I'm saying? I mean, listen, it means that these words add fuel to the fire so that the person that says this, notice, they go further. He said, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell. Fire. Thou fool, or you rabble, you nitwit, whatever you want to put in there at that time in words, which in turn leads to further. This destroys instead of builds. And so level one simply sets forth to hate someone is to commit murder. Level two is the actual murder part. But God said if it's already in hate, he's considered it that. You already have the qualities that leads to murder, just hadn't committed the act as of yet. And see, that's complete knowledge. Now, I'll tell you, God has complete knowledge. We have partial knowledge. And I'll say again, I'd rather for you to hate me than kill me. But God doesn't look at it like you and I look at it. If you hate me and I can get away, I can't do anything about that. But God says hatred itself is equivalent to that, because it can lead to that if it's not checked. To hate someone is to commit murder in one's heart. And that's what we say, that's what God is saying when he writes in 1 John chapter 3 again. Look down, if you go back and look at chapter 3, verse 15. Whosoever hated his brother, he said, is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abided in him. That is eternal life that's settled down. The fact that a person can hate and hate shows there's no eternal life abiding in them. That's a consequence that you have. If eternal life is abiding in you, there's an element in there to keep you from doing that as a way of life. as far as your life is concerned. Now, sinful feelings are not excuses to commit sinful deeds. We may lose fellowship with God. And this is the thing. Someone said, well, you know, nobody sees that if I hate someone. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me carefully. We may lose fellowship with God when there's hatred in the heart. We may not have to be locked up in prison for it because no one sees it. You can't judge it because the judge and jury can't see it. But God sees it. And what he thinks is the main thing. You see, when God tells us something and we listen and we try to obey it, we'll work on it. We'll work on it. If we don't hear it, we can't listen. If we listen, if we hear it and don't listen to it, then we're not going to obey it. And therefore, we go on way. James chapter 2. Look where he talked about in James chapter 2, the law of liberty in verse 12. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. The law of liberty is simply like this. It is not just what you and I do, but what do you want to do? That's complete knowledge. You can't see what I want to do, but you see what I do if you're in the vicinity. I've got news for all of us. God not only sees what we do, he sees what we want to do. And God says, I see that. I want you to know, it's not just what you do. It's what you want to do. Because if you got a desire to do it, and you get a chance to make it applicable into life, you will practice it sooner or later unless you check it. And I will too in this life. So he gives information to do just that. We're hated by this world. But God's people learn to love. God has told us, if you look at me in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm hurrying, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and if you look down about verse 13, Paul said, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. In other words, Paul is saying to the child of God at Corinth, which includes you and I, ladies and gentlemen, we're born again, when this world looks at us, they don't look at us as being the good born-again Christian. This world looks at us with a slang. And more than likely, they, if they say that you are born again, it's a slang against you. Paul is saying that the world looks at us as trash and garbage as far as this, the filth of the world. Everything we say about God condemns them unless they know God. And then in you look with me also in Acts 22. And know what the Apostle Paul had to say down about verse 22. Look in Acts 22, verse 22. We go back in verse 22, and Paul said, and they gave him audience. He said in his testimony, I will send thee far unto the Gentiles. And he said, they gave him audience. He has just been arrested, and he's going to try to keep him away, or going to be arrested. He's going to try to keep him out of going into Jerusalem. But he said, and they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted their voices, and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it's not fit that he should live. Now, what was Paul doing? He won't now head to Damascus to kill people. He was trying to win people to Christ. That's all he was doing. He was giving the gospel out. Everywhere he went, he preached the gospel of Jesus, and it convicted hearts. Instead of receiving it, they rebelled against him. And they said, listen, away with this guy. Get rid of him. He's not fit to live. By the way, if you live for Christ, that's the way this ungodly filth of the world will say about you. When the time comes, they'll say, we can do without you. That's the reason I believe the closer we get to the end of the age when Christ comes for the church, I'm not so sure there's going to be anybody that will miss us. They'll be glad we're gone. And I'll be glad we're gone too. Amen. They won't have nothing on me. I'll be wishing that too. But I'll tell you this. Sometimes say, well, don't you know you miss all these people? You know, there's some people you don't mind missing. Do you know that? And this world won't mind missing you and I who say we're a thorn in their flesh as much so as they're a thorn in our flesh when we're trying to do something for the Lord, you see. And again, in God's sight, hatred left unbridled can lead to us committing what we're talking about, murder. Now, that's just a hatred and anger is a pre-thing of murder. And God looks at it already in the heart. He sees the heart. Then we move on quickly. I've got to do this. The Mara murder was committed through contempt and disregard. And that's when he said, thou fool, in Matthew. Emotional murder. Nobody thinks about that. What is emotional murder? You may not kill somebody physically and take their life, but you can destroy someone emotionally by words. And you don't believe it. You talk about contempt and hatred and anger and slander and scheming and gossiping, grudges and hard-hearted against someone. These are the same classes of sin as murder when God looks at the complete picture. All of these are destructive acts calculated to hurt and destroy someone. You look with me in some places like in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. And these are the things that he talks about in verse 20. He said, "For I fear," Paul said, "I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I should be found into you such as you would not." In other words, Paul said, when I get there to the church at Corinth, he says, there's not much care for each other. I'm not going to find in you what I'd like to find, and you're not going to find in me what you'd like to find, because Corinth is a carnal church. And so when I get there, I'm not going to find. He said to church, I'm not going to find in you what I want to find. And because of that, you're not going to find in me what you want to find. And he goes on and he says, such as ye would not, lest there be debates and envy and wrath and strife and backbiting and whispering and sweating and tumults and so forth. That means uproar. There'd be uproars everywhere just about. If you look in Galatians again, Paul carries that over a little bit further. And you look in Galatians 20 verse 19, he said, now the works of the flesh are such as these: adultery, fornication, the kingdom of lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, violence, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envy, murder, drunken, and he goes on and names a bunch, and then he's such like. He can't just name them all. He puts them in the same category. And such like, he says, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you even time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then in Romans chapter 1, in verse 20, in Romans chapter 1, in verse 29 through 30, Paul said this: being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit. All of these are same in the same kind of backbiting. He said, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Inventors of evil things. You know what I did years ago when I saw that? I wrote Las Vegas out there. I wrote Las Vegas right beside it. You say, why'd you do that? Now, I'm sure there's a lot of good things in Las Vegas, but everything I see is not that good. What I see on television is not that good. I'm sure there's some good churches in Las Vegas. I bet you there's some fundamental churches there trying to reach some people for Christ. But when you think of Las Vegas, you don't think about going to church. People don't go out there to go to church, in case you thought they did. Amen. Again, all of these are destructive acts. They're calculated to hurt and destroy. And you know as good as I do, when we get on the defense against someone and we have been hurt, we're like a wounded lion. We're like men and women that gnashed their teeth on Stephen in Acts chapter 9, I believe it was, in the book of Acts 7, maybe it was, 7. Again. So all of these are destructive acts. By jealousy and fury, Cain had already murdered Abel before he ever struck a blow. And God saw it in his heart. Then James talks about the tongue. You know, the tongue can be a murderous attitude. James chapter 4. I'm talking about other things. These are things that can lead to such things as to the final act of a murder. He said, from whence again, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, from whence come war and fights among you? Come they from whence of your lust that you're war in your members? Ye lust, ye have not. Ye kill and desire and have not. Cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not. Why? Because you ask not. Look in chapter 3. And he cares more, verse 8 and 9. In verse 8 and 9, he says, but the tongue can no man tame. It's unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therefore curse we man, which are made after the similitude of God. Watch number 10, ladies and gentlemen. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, he's not talking to the unsaved here. He's not talking to those who are not born again. Isn't it interesting that James would have to tell his own brethren? He said, my brethren, these things ought not to be. You see that? Does a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. So again, these people were not physically murdering people. They weren't taking a gun and shooting or a stone and killing, or even taking something to hit someone over the head with it. This wasn't it. But he was talking about what the tongue can do. Isn't it interesting when you have complete knowledge? Because those are the things that leads to that final act if it's not checked. And then I'll say the last thing. Look with me in Luke 11. I got just about Luke 11 with me, chapter 11, verse 52, what Jesus said. I want to say this last one. You may not consider, folks, listen to me. Look at me just a minute. And I say to the death of my soul, we're fixing to go to stewardship month. You may not consider this murder. But I want to tell you something. If you have a chance to witness someone and do not, and that person goes to hell, you've let that person destroy its soul without hearing the gospel. And that's the reason God puts it so strong to every child of God. There's people I can't win, you can win. Jesus said this in Luke, and we'll close verse 52. I'm talking about murder. We've talked about some things in the last 3 or 4 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, you never heard of before, because no one's ever looked into Scripture for. Jesus made this statement. He said in chapter, look with me down about verse 11 in verse 52. He's denouncing woes on the leaders, and this particular one is talking about lawyers. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter in not yourselves, and then them that were entered in ye hindered. He's saying these men have the capability of knowing the truth. And he says to them, woe unto you. You have the keys of knowledge. And with the capability of understanding what God is saying, he says, you enter not in yourself. You won't enter in. No matter what anyone says, you won't enter in. And then because you won't enter in, you hindered anyone else who's trying to get. That's what Jesus said. Read the verse again. He said, preacher, wait a minute. Do you interpret that? I don't know. Read it for yourself and see what Jesus said. And so it's important for us to understand. They were given spiritual opportunities to give the gospel out as we know it, and would be able to give it the gospel as we know it when Jesus finished his course here on this particular earth. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4 for just a minute, and let's look at the opposite of what the scripture talks about when it comes to those things that do lead to murder. He said in verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, now these are some of the same things we looked in Corinth and other places, Rome and other places, Galatians, that lead to this thing of killing or murder. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed in the day of redemption, but let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, let it be put away from you with all malice. You could say it this way, let all these things that he mentioned be put away with you with all malice. And be ye kind. Look at the opposite of that which leads to murder. Be ye kind one to another, tender heart. You can't kill someone if you're kind and tender hearted to them. You know that? Forgiving one another. How? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. This opposite of murder. In Mark chapter 7, verse 21-23, you remember we talked about when Jesus said, for from within, out of the heart of the man, proceeded evil thoughts. Then he lists adulteries, fornication, murders, comes from the heart. Thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceitful, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And then in verse 23, he said, all these things come from within and defile the man. If those things are found in us, even as a child of God, it still defiles the flesh. Still defiles the flesh. And greater is he than, it don't have to be for us, greater is he than us than he that's in this world. So again, we have a city of refuge. Look at the last verse in 1 Peter as we close this out. In 1 Peter chapter 4. There's so many verses we could go to, but we won't. In verse 15 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter. Peter said about this, let none of you, now who is he talking to? He's talking to the saints and his epistle to the saints. He says, listen, let none of you, I consider this to anybody in the body of Christ, let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matter. And by the way, these things cover the list of many things we just read. That is not something you have to be. Because if you ever get caught in that trap, it can lead to trouble. There's been many marriages separated because they didn't check some of these. You didn't murder each other, but you did separate. Or I didn't say you, but somebody did. Because they knew the fact that you just... I've had people I've come to say, you know, if I hadn't left, I believe like certain husband or wife might have killed me. That's how bad it was. It didn't start out that way, though. You see what I'm talking about? The opposite of that is what God tells us will not lead to that if we'll practice those things had to do along with the fruit of the Spirit. Notice what he said. Yet, be not one of you as suffers a murder in these things. But then he said, yet if any man suffered as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Well, that's a wonderful truth. Don't be ashamed if you suffer for the cause of Christ. He said, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Thank God Almighty, I can't flee with this thought, that all of us have a city of refuge. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever we're found in a sin that leads to murder, thank God for a city of refuge. Whatever sin that may lead to where one doesn't commit murder by actual event, thank God we have a city of refuge. And that city is the Lord Jesus Christ. So no matter, you say, how can I overcome that? If I have this come, how can I overcome it that I don't get further into something, do something I regret doing? Listen to me. Flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. Flee to your city of refuge and ask him to help you. And pray hard that he'd help you. And you'd be surprised how quick the tranquility of God and the peace of God will come to you. And if you understand your situation. I hope this has been a good study. I'm not going to go any further. There's so much that could be said on any of these. But I'm not going to go any further on that. But we are, next week, going to be looking at the seventh commandment. And it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Wow. I know you're eager to be here for that. Amen. Someone said, praise God, that's one. Won't touch me. Oh, Come and listen to it. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. We're looking at the law of God, perfect law of God on imperfect people. Thank God for the blood of Christ that removes the curse that we can be called your children. Honor yourself, Lord, through even your law as we try to look at it, understand it, and realize how precious Christ is to redeem us out of under the curse. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.